Well, Andy, for my first question for the interview is talk a little bit about your new band, your new project, your solo project entitled Andy Darris and the Bad Bankers, and basically talk about how this whole thing got together.
Yeah, well, I kind of have had a collection of the last 10, 12 years, which made up 11, 12 great songs that I finally wanted to put out on the record. Then again, we are living in times where, personally, I was very pissed off by all these assholes up there, managers and bankers, and it always takes just a handful to actually bring a great system to fall, and we've seen that in the history books, and now again, we see it in the 21st century. You have a good system going on here with the capitalistic system in connection with the democratic but in politics, and everything works out fine, I think. But again, you just have a handful of greedy madmen, hypocrites up there, and they bring it to fall again. So I thought, okay, this is something that is really going on in my mind, that is really pissing me off, and so I wanted to write about it. And when I had the stupid idea to call the whole project Bad Bankers, and stumbled over an old sentence from the Black Friday from the last millennium, which was $20 haircuts on 10 cent hits. I think it was born in New York. Nevertheless, I thought, okay, nowadays we don't talk about $20. Nowadays we talk about millions and billions of dollars. So I just turned it into $1 million haircuts on 10 cent hits. And yeah, the whole idea was born. So I was writing the lyrics and luckily found a band, some youngsters here from Tenerife, from the islands. Canary Islands, and I really loved them. So when I saw them on stage playing, I thought, what a great mixture, like a Hendrix guitarist and a Slipknot drummer and a Radiohead singer with some funky bass guitar. A weird mixture. Nevertheless, I thought, okay, maybe I should ask them if they would like to help me recording a new solo output. And funnily, my lady told me if I would not recognize the boys, and I said, no way, no, I don't know the guys. And she said, that's the band, the ex band of your son. And I said, no way, because last time I've seen them, they were like 15 and 16. Now I saw some muzzle-packed, beard-wearing adults on stage, and I would never have recognized them. But yeah, it's true. So yeah, they were honored, I think. And sooner or later, we ended up in the studio and yeah, gave it a try. And the output is now the album you have in front of you, I think.
You know, a lot of bands and a lot of metal musicians have come out against the banking system and many of the people that control it. And there's just a lot of anger and a lot of what's going on. But with you, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, I mean, you're not happy with some of the corruption going on, but there's a little bit of humor, it seems to be. There seems to be a little bit of humor going on here, you know?
Yeah, well, in matter of fact, we definitely have to look at it with a blink of an eye, because nobody is a saint here. I think we are all corruptive to a certain point. Maybe sometimes it doesn't, and hopefully it doesn't hurt other people, but that's the point where I start. When you hurt other people, I think it goes too far. So I would never enjoy, let's take a stupid example, me buying a Ferrari with your money because I kind of tricked you. I could never enjoy that Ferrari because I know it's stolen. It's not. I did not work for it. There's no honor behind it. And honestly, I know I'm not a saint, but you know, if we all take care not to actually step on each other's feet, then I think the world would be a better place. Now, taking the people up there, these managers and bankers and all this corruptive breed, they definitely take it way too far, because how many millions can you actually enjoy on your bank account? I mean, do you really need billions? Millions should be enough, I think, but there is a certain limit which they step over, which I don't understand. I only can explain it with, like, psycho damage in their brain or something like that, because this is not normal.
Now, I know in the solo album you've come out and talked a little bit about the whole banking system and some of the corruption and all that stuff, but you know, has any of this stuff ever really come out in any of the music that you've written for Helloween?
Yeah. I mean, there have been parallel things, like, for example, Don't Spit on My Mind on the Better Than Raw album, I remember. So, but, you know, it's been taken too far now. Actually, everybody should bitch about it. Unfortunately, the only genre of music which which is allowed to actually say what you think is rock and metal music. Maybe rap is starting out to become a bit more honest again, because the last decade or two decades, I think this was just, look how rich I am, look my gold Rolex, look my Ferrari, nothing more. I mean, there was no responsibility behind it. But I remember that even rap started out to be something like telling the truth music in the very beginning. But nevertheless, I think we are left alone here. Metalheads and rockers are the only breed who is actually allowed to say what they think.
Well, aside from the lyrics, Andy, I do want to comment about the music a little bit, because there's a lot of variety in it. And obviously a solo album, you really don't have a set sound of what you're going to do, but it almost has a little bit of a stripped down vibe to it. It kind of sounds like classic rock meets, say, modern vibe, maybe a little bit of Radiohead, maybe a little bit of modern rock and stuff inside of this.
Yeah, I mean, from the style side, I always try to do something which is not today, which is not tomorrow, and which is definitely not only yesterday. I try to combine all these things. So me coming from the 80s, I don't want to hide, actually, my roots. So I'm definitely a 80 rocker and want to write this music, if possible in combination with the nowadays sounds. Whatever that means. I mean, nowadays we have so many sounds to go. I mean, I decided for a more honest garage sound in a good way. So I wanted to have like guitars the way they sound, drums the way they sound, not too overproduced, not too many reverbs and stuff where you hide behind. But this is always something that you, the guy who makes the music, you have to feel comfortable with it. And you can't be everyone's darling anyway, so there you go. You listen to it, you like it, you leave it.
Well, you know, it almost seemed, the album seemed to have a nice mix of stuff. I mean, you had the first couple tracks have kind of a modern rock, you know, old school rock feel to them. But then you got some of the stuff like Blind and Enemoria, which have a little bit of that Pink Cream 69, or maybe a little bit of coming from your, a little bit of sound from your one solo album, Coming from the Ring.
Yeah, as I said, I mean, there's some roots I have to follow, and when I write songs, I honestly have to tell you, it's just me. I sit down with my guitar because it's my biggest hobby, even though my profession is the singer of a well-known band like Halloween, but nevertheless, I started out with my guitar, and that's when my heart beats for. So I can't actually sit down and schedule to go into this or that direction. It's just me and my hobby, and whatever I like, I try to record, and even record better with the help of some better boys on the guitar, and certainly I can't program the drums as good as a good drummer would play it, and so on and what so forth. So, yeah, never actually, I don't want to lose my roots, and I'm proud of them, because so far I always had a successful life here with my music, and it gave me the chance to fulfill so many dreams which I never would have dreamt of, honestly, when I started out like 25 years ago. So I'm happy to be there where I am.
Well, let's talk about something else that you've done. You started out this past year in Music SX, and you know, talk a bit about how that works, and it's a website, obviously, that you started for people to get funding and bands to get funding. But I have to ask you, you know, talk a little bit about it. Talk about how fans can get involved. Talk about how the musicians can get involved. And, you know, let's kind of go from there.
Well, in Music SX is a shortcut for International Music Stock Exchange. Actually, the idea came when I saw my son who, at the age of 20, was actually dreaming the dream of doing some successful music, or at least making his living out of music. And I see how they stumble and how hard it is for them nowadays, because there is no, like, real good record company anymore which would, well, kind of fund you from beginning on as they did in my days. We have been funded by Sony Music, those days Columbia Records, and they actually gave us the possibility from beginning on to live off the music, to make a proper production. And as we all know, I mean, to actually make a proper production which stands against all the competition in the world, you need to have money. I mean, this is serious money that you have to take to make a proper don't have a penny. That's not very easy. So we had the idea to actually make a kind of stock exchange for music where new bands put in their demos and the whole wide world just listens to the demos, and if they like it, they may buy a share into that band. So there's a certain limited amount of shares that you may buy, and as much people have which have bought a share, let's say there are 4,000 people buying a share in your band, later on you have to share the profit of your band with these people who actually gave you the possibility to have enough money to make a great production. So we leave the choice to the artists. They actually can, if they want, share only 5% of their income, up to 35%. For us, it was very important that the artists always have 51, so the majority of their shares in their own pocket. But that's to the band. That's actually their decision. And the whole idea is that actually we need the music fans to promote everything, and the music fans are the clients, and it would be the first model where the music fan himself is actually participating in the success of his artist, and certainly he would make the biggest promotion for the artist. So I see this as a very cool, great system for the future, and maybe it helps a lot of bands to survive or even see the light of the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like the fans in a sense become the what the record company should be, you know.
Exactly, that's the whole sense behind it, because the record companies nowadays want to earn even with your concerts and earn even with your t-shirt sales and what so on and what so forth. So this doesn't sound fair to me. I think this should be the decision of the band itself. And if they want to share something, then I think it's much better to share with their fans and not some stupid record company. I think that's not the future. I think the future will be fans and bands together, united. And as I told you with the calculation, there will be then enough money for the band to go into a great production and really be able to compete with all the stuff we have from the still nowadays contracted bands, the record companies. Like, for example, us, Helloween. We always have enough money. We have like $100,000 to go into the studio, rent the studio, rent a great producer. We have all the time and the money. But this is actually, when it comes to new bands, this is nearly impossible for them to compete with bands like us, because, I mean, how should you ever make a great production in your living room when there is a professional producer and a band which has like enough money to go into the studio until they finally have the result they wanted? I mean, this is unbeatable. So you need to have money, and this is something I think that the bands know nowadays. I mean, if you go into the rehearsal room and do your own, that it sounds okay, but it will never compete worldwide, you know.
Now, it's always nice, though, to have a producer or somebody from, a third party coming in and saying, hey, you know, this is awesome. And you know, as you know, in a band, you can get so involved with a project, it's hard for you to see really outside what's going on. And having a producer really helps you with that third perspective.
First of all, you need a studio which has some great recording rooms to make your drums sound great. There's a lot of things you can do in your living room, but definitely not the drums. And you definitely need a producer who is able to edit stuff the way it needs to be edited to sound like 21st century. And this is something you don't do just on a MacBook. You need a great system with doesn't have some latency and you know, some which don't have limits. So we talk about a great packed HD6 Pro Tools system or something like that. This is something you definitely need, and enough horsepower and CPU-wise. So you just can't do that native, you know. Mm-hmm. Still not. Maybe in 5 or 10 years, these CPU powers are that good that you actually record with your MacBook latency-free 24 tracks of drums. So far, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also people that, you know, they produce other bands as well. They're actual music producers, but they have their own band where they can just say, okay, I'm going to produce it myself. But, you know, that's kind of a real rarity these days for people to be really effective doing.
Absolutely. But as I said, I mean, a great he listens to the band. He understands, if it's a great producer, he understands what the band wants, where the band wants to go to. Then, but you always have three, four, five heads in the band. So that guy wants to go more into this, the other guy, yes, but that other direction too, blah, blah, blah. So at the end of the day, the producer has to understand the common red line of a band and pushes. He pushes this, and he finds actually the way that the band should present themselves to the audience. Because the first time you present yourself to the public, this is probably the most important day, because that's the direction you will go. And if you have success, that's the direction you will have to go for the next 10 or 20 years. But this will only happen if there is a producer who understands what this band stands for and sees the strength and sees the possible direction, which is maybe something new out there in the world. So this is something that I could never have decided for myself. Listening to my own music, I could not tell you this song is great or this song is not great. They are all my babies, so who am I to decide which baby I want to see survive and which I actually kick in the bin? So that's not possible. And lots of bands out there kind of lie to themselves because they really think they know the formula. But they have the ingredients for that formula. But you need a great guy to understand a band, to take these ingredients and really kind of work on that formula together with the band. And I've never seen it in working out in any other way. So far not. Maybe there is a band who is good enough and who is producing themselves in the future somewhere and is having success, but so far I don't know any band.
Next question. You own a studio. Have you ever thought about actually becoming a record producer at some point in your life?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just like that hobby producer guy. Demos and stuff like that, that's fun. But when it comes to responsibility of a great album, I don't see myself fit enough.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm going to get a little bit off subject here. When you guys came over here, I'm gonna comment on your U.S. tour, because the last couple times that I've seen you guys play now, the band has gotten better and better and tighter each time. And it almost seems to me, Andy, that you guys are just getting better as a band.
Well, sounds good. It's like maybe like a good wine. It's getting better as older it gets.
Well, I'm just saying, because the older you guys get, it seems like the better the albums are starting to come out. In most bands, it's usually the opposite.
I think in our case, it's just that the band sticks together for so long now, which is great, because Helloween in the beginning, the first years, had so many lineup changes, and Ingo died on the drums, and, you know, now this time you have just that stability I think everybody is just enjoying, and maybe that's what makes the band even tighter on stage, because this is like the fifth world tour now with that lineup, and hopefully there will be another five or six world tours with that lineup. So, I mean, that's a very important thing, you know. There are lots of bands out there who stick together since 10, 15, 20 years, and I consider them all very tight and all very good, because sooner or later you get to know each other kind of blindly, you know. You play together. You don't need to look. You know the guy behind you or next to you. And I think that makes it a little bit more easier, but second of all, it's much more fun, because you don't need to concentrate anymore. You know each other. It's just like a great loving family, and I think this is, especially for Helloween, a very, very great thing.
It's like, when I listen to Straight Outta Hell, and this is something I said when I first heard this record, is that there were so many songs that I couldn't tell who wrote what. And I'll give you some examples, like when you listen to Hold Me in Your Arms, that totally sounds like something you would have written, but it was Sasha that wrote it. Will in the War was something I could have seen Vicky writing, and it was, you know, it was Sasha that wrote that. Then, you know, there's a song, Nabatea, I could have sworn Sasha would have written it, and that was you. So it was just really hard for me to figure out who basically wrote what songs. Usually I was able to tell in the past. Now it seems you guys have gelled so well, this is what happened.
Yeah, but this is something that automatically will happen when you stick together for that long. I think because everybody is allowed to actually mingle and twist and turn and add on and take away parts and in each song, you know. So when I write my songs and I put it on the server, everybody is downloading it and adds parts to it. Look, I have this idea. Look, I have that idea. So at the end of the day, it's just an interconnection anyway, you know. Well, I think something happened here. The helicopter arriving.
Uh-oh.
You hear it?
I hear it.
Fire. Yeah. Firefighters. I think somewhere on the island we have some fire going on again. No, he's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't hear it anymore.
You hear it?
I don't hear it. Nope.
Okay. Yeah, I think because everybody is actually allowed to help each other, which is not a very common thing, I realize, because there are lots of bands out there. They don't want, like the particular songwriter doesn't want the others to actually change parts or even add parts because it's his song, blah, blah, blah. So this is something that actually we fortunately don't have, because at the end of the day, we all live of that band. We are all part of that band, and actually it doesn't matter who writes what song, you know.
I guess I'm just used to different bands, you know, with one or two songwriters and certain people dictating everything. You guys are kind of like a democracy, and, you know, you guys seem to like each other, whereas a lot of people, these bands, they just go crazy because they all end up hating each other.
Yeah, that's horrible. Imagine you go on a world tour for 12 months. You see each other more often like your own lady. So you have to stick together. If this is not a bunch of people who like themselves, then this is not a great job, I think.
So how did the U.S. tour go for you, Andy? I mean, you know, if you look back at it now, it's been a while. You don't get a lot of chances to play over here. And maybe talk a little bit about how the U.S. tour went for you guys and how the shows went.
There were great places and there were not so great places. But overall now, a few months back in time, looking at it, it was a great adventure. But that's always, U.S. is always a great adventure because it's such a vast, huge country.
Mm-hmm.
There's always corners that you haven't seen the first three, four times, and probably there are still 80 or 90% which I haven't seen in through the last years. So probably still 89%, 90% to discover for me. It's always great. The shows themselves, because when you tour U.S. America, the shows themselves seem to be something like not the most important thing. it's more the bloody tourist, which is actually sticking his nose out of the window and tries to actually inhale all the new stuff he sees, you see. So it's probably like when American bands play in Europe, for example, then probably they realize that the shows themselves is not so important anymore. It's just that vibe going on, that new thing. You want to actually see everything. And I'm at least talking for myself, I'm like a kid.
How did you like Ohio? Because I know it's pretty much your first time. It was your first time being here in the state, and the band hadn't been here since 1987. And did you get to see anything cool?
No, it was pretty cool. The only thing I remember, me being such a guy who needs a lot of sun and warmth, it was probably the coldest place on the whole U.S. American tour. So for me, it was not that much enjoyable because I couldn't go to the city and walk around because I'm always paranoid that I catch a cold or something like that.
Hence the tour,
we've been super happy. We had great days, sunny, and looked like the rain was actually fleeing when we arrived. So yeah, it was a great time.
Andy, any last words to say to the fans that are going to be checking out this interview?
Yeah, hey, I'm super happy that I actually heard the news that I have a number 6 college charts thing going on there with Don't Listen to the Radio, which is in itself a nice joke. Don't Listen to the Radio is number 6 in the radio charts. So, who would have guessed that? Nevertheless, my deepest appreciation and thank you all out there to make this happen. And if you go through the lyrics, I hope we have a common understanding here. me a little German talking English, but in a very French way, I have to say. Hope you all enjoy, and yeah, I'll see you guys definitely next year or maybe 2015 then later, because I think we start the world tour in Europe.